You know, I had such fun finding out you were from Tennessee. Let's go over this again because I want to take notes. Now, you came here from where now?
Well, I came here out of the Army from, I was in the Army. And I came here from, I'm glad to be on in New York. And I got out in 45 in California.
Where were you in the Army?
South Pacific.
South Pacific? On a boat?
No, in the jungles.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, I was in a Resurrection Battalion.
What?
A Resurrection Battalion.
What's that?
They got a new outfit name for that there. They call it a Burl outfit now.
Burl.
I think it's what they changed the name.
Resurrection
Battalion, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But they done changed the name a couple times since then.
Okay. Well, now what'd you do? What was it?
That was taking care of the dead.
God.
The graveyard.
You were in the graveyard duty. Well, what island? Were you on islands or what?
No, I was on quite a few islands. I was on New Hebrides. Mm-hmm. And then I was in Australia.
Oh!
About a year. Mm-hmm. And I was in Los Negros. Mm-hmm. And I was on another island. That's a small island. I can't believe that was a problem. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it. That's about 3 mile island. Mm-hmm. And I was in New Hebrides. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that name?
I've heard of it, and I sure never expected to go there. I didn't know I ever would know anybody who'd been there.
Yeah, I was in Hebrides there. I was in Hebrides about a year. Uh-huh. And all of that was fever.
Did you have malaria?
No, I had, what do you call it, a dengue fever.
Oh.
Now, they got another name for that now, I guess.
Well, now, so that's over, and you're in California.
No, I came from, Los Angeles. Uh-huh. See, I think that was one of the places I was. But I was in New Guinea, I think.
You were in New Guinea?
Yeah,
my daddy was there. He said malaria ever since.
Yeah, but I didn't care. But I can't call the name of Olive. You get it, group.
Yeah.
And then I'm lucky and blessed. It was about 15,000 soldiers. You hear this, you're going to like this. They put the name in a hat. Uh-huh. And it was fighting like crazy over there.
Yeah.
And they drove my head out of the hat.
Yeah.
And I was coming home.
All right.
I got on my home. Went all the way home, and I was laid 3 times. I started, one time they had a lot of wounded.
Yeah.
Well, that delayed me. Then I flew me to a place called Gullum. I don't know. It was an island.
Yeah.
And I came back on the PT boat. That's the boat that landed in water.
Uh-huh.
And they call it PT boat. Mm-hmm. Then I came back to Los Negros. And then I got ready to go again. I got my bag already. And another group of soldiers came in and wounded. And I got to lay there. I was laid back maybe 2 months coming home. And got on my way home. And I was almost home. And all of a sudden they said, alert. It's 18 days. The Japanese had surrendered. I was 2 days out of San Francisco. Yeah, hear what I said, girl?
Yeah.
I was two days out of San Francisco. Then I got in, and I got my discharge cigarette. I just, Fort McPherson, Georgia.
You got what?
My discharge. Uh-huh. Fort McPherson, Georgia.
Georgia?
Uh-huh. And, I laid around there about a week before I got out of there, too many soldiers there. Then I came to Tennessee. I haven't been to Tennessee in 4 years.
Now, you were from Johnson City or where?
Johnson City.
Oh, that's the prettiest town in Tennessee. And how old were you by this time?
Well, I was 36, I think.
Did you join the Army or were you drafted?
They're taking me.
Yeah, I
don't know. No, I was drafted out of New York. I was in, I think it was in amazed. I mean, I was in the first draft call. And I went to Fort J. That's where I was drafted. In showing the Army Fort J. And I went to Fort Dix for 3 days. Then I went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Oh my God.
The Red Clay Hill. And we was there for about, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks, it was in Van Emergency, South Carolina. It was target practice. Now, I'm hitting the story. Before that, we was in, all in North Carolina, we was drilling. Nobody knew how to sew.
No.
We had sticks for guns drilling.
They don't work very well, do they?
And that's what we had. We walked all through Southern Pine. You hear that place, Southern Pine?
Yeah,
Pine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked all through there. Just walked. We had the canteen. And you had your lunch. They would give you lunch. Finally, we went down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to target practice. This is anti-aircraft after I was in there. This is the big guns. We had guns in there, I mean. And I used to pull the target. So a lot of Alabama boys and Mississippi boys, they knew all about water.
Oh.
But I never knew very much about water. And average Southern boy couldn't read or write too good. You know what I mean? And the old captain said to me, he said, "Hey, you." And I said, "What's up, Doc?" He said, "Like that." He said, "Oh, you're so much different from the rest of the guys." And I said, "Bam, bam, 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 bam. You talk different." "Oh, my God." And I said, "We all talk the same flat language, you know, like so and so and so and so." And he said, "You know anything about a boat driving?" I said, "Nope."
No.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. But I wouldn't mind trying to drive a boat. So if you give me this job, pulling the target, that's a good thing to shoot it. But I had to practice 4 days before I, they would pull the target. 4 days every day. We do it from Myrtle Beach down to Charleston to get the boat. Every day, 4 days, I finally learned how to use this big old boat, you know. It was like a, it was like a motorboat, but it was in the water. And it was like something like a PT boat, but it wasn't no PT boat. It was kind of a heavy boat like that I was running. So I pulled a target gun. 6 weeks, 6 months. You had to shoot in 6 weeks. And finally, you got ready to come back to Fort Bragg. And you came back to Fort Bragg. And I was getting out of the Army. Like all over 29 was getting out, cut out. Just get out of the Army, you know.
Yeah.
And I done signed up and everything. Signed up. And I got my little pay. And then that weekend I went down to Water, North Carolina, having a big time. I'm going home in a few days. I'm going back to New York, you know. Then I had a big time dragging old South Pier. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, here comes this thing blowing, horn blowing, Japanese attack Pearl Harbor.
Oh!
And I said, "Where the hell is Pearl Harbor?"
Oh my God.
I like it. You know what I mean?
Good question.
You know, I said, "It's just like that, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I know history, like the United States, like Germany and France. And England like that, got me with a debt.
Right.
And I had heard of Australia, but I never paid much attention. And Spain, I always wanted to go to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to go to Morocco. I always liked Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Only what I had, most of my history was Spain, Balboa.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be that. See, they never get Balboa credit for discovering the murder. They say he discovered the murder.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
That's a secret, though. That'd ruin everything.
No, have you ever heard that?
I've heard it, but I
But anyway, he spent a lot of money, something like that. But I was, just a history, just think about it, you know. And I went on back to Fort Bragg that morning, everybody, you know, It got loaded that same day. It started out Philadelphia. And stopped at Blacksburg down here. Overnight, the two or three boys got lost in breaking traffic, you know. And it was December, girl. It was cold and snow.
Yeah.
And anyway, they come on up and got to come around Richmond. And went on to Philadelphia.
Well, now, speaking of that, did they know that you were different from those Southern boys? Had you had a better little education in Johnson City than those Southern boys had had?
Oh, probably I had. What do you mean? I had
like a better school.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that much better school. When you read and write, old people can't keep you, you know. And I used to stammer. I'm coming back to me now. I got burnt here about a year. Look after my wife died. And it kind of picked my voice. I'm stammering with it now. No, I'll come back to it. But I used to stammer.
Oh, my God.
And I never had very good friends because they used to make fun of me.
Yeah.
And then old lady started telling me, say, Buster, I used to have long hair, real long hair. And so I never had a haircut until I left home, you know, until I went to Washington. But I had real long hair. And I was gray-headed.
Oh,
yeah.
Even young?
Yeah, I was not all the way. I had a great spot. That's the first place I got bald.
Oh, my word.
But anyway, after I got out of the stammering part, and I was the sergeant talking slow, and she got me. And then I went to Washington, and I practiced, you know, talking slow, that's all the people. And I got out of there.
You know what, that should help me. You know, I talk way too loud, you probably noticed that. And someone said to me, this is verbal rape, you know, because I talk so fast and so loud. And if you could learn to overcome a stammer, I should do it.
Yeah, but anyway, I overcome it, but it came back, come back to me, and I got burned. But anyway, went on to Philadelphia, in the state of Navy Yard. You got there about the 12th of December, and really it was cold. And it was cool. See, I was used to the cold weather before. See, I've been in New York, and other guys, you see them shivering. And they said to me, they said, don't bother you. I said, no. I said, I thought I used to get damn cold, you know. It didn't bother me. So we stayed there until about April or May. And went on out there. We liked that hot weather out there.
Yeah.
Rode the train out there. I think in Los Angeles, a place called Burbank. And we were guarding a great big airplane factory, Lockheed. And all the sand out there, the sand fleas.
Oh, really?
And I never heard of the sand fleas. Yeah. The thing with the bike, you know? It stayed there. And we say, I only got 2 months. And we got a march order with the Burbank. That's where the army. I think it's Burbank. I ain't got it right. I think it was the Burbank. That's where I was shipped at.
Uh-huh.
And that was just in August. We're down in San Francisco. And I had a sister out there. She was out there.
Were you married at this time?
No.
Or yet married?
No.
Well, now how did you get
I'm going too fast. Here's how I met my wife, man. See, I lived in New York, and I knew her. I knew some of her kin people in New York. I met them in New York. And I used to live uptown, 52nd Street, lived there. And I met this friend, and they were kin to her. So anyway, I got in the army and she come down to see me. She was one of my girlfriends. She came down to see me. And so she called Gertrude after they were able to see after staying to see me. It was cold room too. Then after that, she had dinner with this man. She went back between them about 1 month.
In the army?
And that's all that thing. And then I met Gertrude, that was And that was in 42. And I ever seen in August or July, I just remember myself. Then I kept on messing around, looking at some kids and talking to it. Maybe about a month, you know. Yeah, it was confident. I got to know what I'm going to see. And somewhere or another, we didn't get married then now. And I said, we was talking about marriage. And I said, we just met. And just talking. And finally, I got ready to go and see. I said, if you wait for me and I get back, I said, I'm married. Yeah, well, that's right, cute, you know?
Yeah.
And listen to this word there. I know who's married. You know? And she waited for me in 4 years.
Wow.
And we had a lovely relationship. And anyway, she waited. So when I came back, and I was sick when I came back, I had some kind of a bone trouble with my neck. I couldn't turn around. It ought to be to look back at me, then I had to turn around. So, you know, we were down in the country then, the mother who was there. So I went down to Kitty Pet. You ever hear that word? That's a hospital. It was a hospital. And I went down there for a month. I was in February. I stayed down there. Treatments every day. Treatments. So finally, he got so I could turn around. So finally, I came back home. And back in that, we lived in Louisa. And then we came here.
Well, how did you get to Louisa, though? That's so rare.
That's where my wife is
home in Louisa. Oh, now that's how you got here.
That's how I got here.
Oh.
So we met in Philadelphia.
Oh.
And we got married in Philadelphia. And she was coming home. I didn't want no part to move to the north that way.
No.
And so we came back this way. And we came to Charlottesville. And really didn't you ever see?
What year was that?
Huh?
What year did you come to Charlottesville?
I came here April 1946. I came here doing an excellent student with different. Everybody was different then. You know what I mean? They were different people. They wore different clothes. Mm-hmm. Everything was neat. Everything you see had a tie. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
By a kid, he was neat. Even the black and everything, workers all.
Uh-huh.
They had ties on. They looked good.
Not today.
Oh, no, not today.
It's too bad. Well, now, where was your first house in Charlottesville? Where'd you live?
No, I lived over on 6th Street. That's over by Jensen School. Uh-huh. And I stayed over there. All three of the children were born over there. And then God spared me. I bought this lot and I started building this house. I couldn't borrow a penny.
Naturally.
Couldn't borrow a penny. I started from the ground and dug it out. Got it.
Were you working now?
I worked down Ixie at the time.
Where? Oh, Ixie.
I worked down there.
What'd you do?
I was a loom cleaner, what you call it. You clean them big old machines. You ever been in there?
No.
Oh, you can't hear good out there doing that.
Okay. How much do they pay?
Don't lag.
I will.
75 an hour. Then all of a sudden they pass a law. They paid $1.25 an hour. And then I got laid off down there. I didn't get fired, I got laid off. Here's what happened. Look at this, somebody said that close. My wife never tell you about 10 or 15 years later. So she went in and applied for a job. They would hire a black woman down that day. And I got laid off. And anyway, I didn't pay attention. I could do community center. All of a sudden, mechanic. And so anyway, I messed around and started doing day's work. And a plumber, old man Taylor, lived up on 15th Street. He offered me a job. And I wanted to go into DI Bill for me. He said, occupant of the idea. And I went on and I worked for me about 2 months. All right, why they had chance to do a thing with that shit? They had chance to do a thing with that shit. That's the idea. So I went to Vetco and talked to Hill and fight for a job and got a job out here. A janitor there. And I worked there, he worked at night. And I used to pay the work at daytime. I used to carpet for me, put me anything, come on, pay me, do this, that. And made it. So I stayed there for 1 year. And I've been sick a couple of times. You know, I had to different, though I wasn't sick, I had a, this rat cute, I had a big operation. And then I had a finger I had to reset, I let them out there. That. And outside that, girl, I've been blessed. You know what I said? I've been blessed. I've been blessed. With two of you. And the whole thing. And anyway, I made it. I stayed there 31 years in Vicksburg. But I got along with there pretty good. Nobody ever bothered me. Because I was too outspoken. They said I was nasty. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's funny about people. This guy said to me, said, Mac. I said, yeah, they call me Mac. Yeah. He said, where are you from? I said, Tennessee, why? He said, you don't talk like a Southern. I said, why? Now, what's the difference between you and me? He said, you don't talk like that. But you don't know how to treat white people. I said, clear, I grow up around.
Yeah.
You know, where I came from, black live here, white live, we had a lot of land as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of land. And black and white people used to live on this place, and it was a sheer crop. It was hard back in the day, wasn't it? And anyway, it was no different. And if you had something over here, they'd bring you something over here, they had some other, they'd bring something over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right around the and I said, what you mean? I said, I raised up around, I said, what no difference?
No.
What no difference there? But I said, what changed the solution? He said, what? I said, well, integration, so that's the real thing changed.
that changed.
And he said, I don't know how to talk to white people. I said, what you mean? What you mean? He said, you yes and no. I said, damn right, you know, excuse me.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what I raised. Now, I raised my children the same way.
Uh-huh.
Yes and no.
Absolutely.
Yes and no. The people down the street, they go, yes and yes, sir. No, sir.
Yeah.
I taught my children. Yes and no.
Right.
Okay, what it was, you answered. And I said, somebody says, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so. And I said, you call him what you want to call him. And his name is Harry or John or what, yes, what you call him. Hey, look at my daughter. Yeah, that's what he brought up. Let's see, all
did your family own the land?
Yeah, we had a whole lot of land. But it was kind of like a family. Like all the family.
Oh, all the people.
Yeah, everybody had it. Wouldn't
and there were white sharecroppers.
All that.
And everybody. Yeah. Everybody was poor together. Huh?
Working together. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Then you hear all this raping.
And what year did you buy this lot?
I bought this lot. Must have been 50. No, it must have been 48 or 49. There's an old house on here.
Oh,
there
was?
Old house.
Do you remember what it
looked
like?
Oh, if he had been out here about a year, they tore the house down and tore down 2 hours left there.
Oh.
And it just wasn't no basement, it was just flat up on the block, raw.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be a garden. I used to have a garden all back in the back. Oh, there's a creek there.
Oh,
but it don't run. When it gets hot weather, but in the wintertime, it really just, they used to get water. People on that side of the road, everybody used to get water up there at one time.
Well, now, what I really liked was when you told me that you were working there at Vetco and you didn't want to push a broom your whole life. Now, tell me what you did.
What happened? I was a janitor out there in the mill, and they...
In the mill?
No, I was a janitor and took care of the mill.
Oh.
And anyway, during that time, wouldn't any black people out there. I was on the block out there. I was on the block out there. No, another fellow called Ben Terrell, he's dead. And then I used to do that. Then they had agreement with their file agreement, you know, fine, black. And finally, they called me and what you call the woman that does all the typing when you come to a court. Anyway, they was asking me questions, you know. Come in there, and this friend of mine would come in with me, he wouldn't do any questions. And said to this talking, said, have you ever been offered any other kind of a job? I said, no. Have you ever been offered another job? And did you take it?
Sure.
And that's where the dog started. So they had to pay me to back pay for about 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Now, I never counted money for it. I needed the money. I was building. If I had that building, and my dad was there, that didn't happen about 10. So I retired 10 years. That happened about 20 years ago, I guess.
And why did they go to court? Why did you go to court?
They had a Remo Bluff, that's where the power plant is.
Uh-huh.
They had an agreement down there, but not hiring any black down there.
Uh-huh.
All black down there had, they still worked down there, they worked on the coal, mm-hmm. and they had no kind of position. And that's what that started out there then.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
See, in other words, they weren't hiring blacks, although they said they were going.
They were going.
You didn't work at Remo Bluff, you worked here.
Yeah, I worked here, but that's all the
same thing.
That's all the same thing.
Okay, so then what happened? But they made you still be a janitor.
No, they gave me a job outside.
Oh.
But they were classified. I was just a laborer out there. But I got the pay.
But they kept you being a laborer.
What they call a heifer, so and so. But I got along with it, they never bothered me. But they was afraid to ask me to do anything. I'm kidding you. The supervisor and all, they was afraid to ask me to do anything. And I would go to work with them. They would tell me good, but I'd go out, or I work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do no work, but I go. They look at me. So if anything come up, go wrong, I would tell them about it, you know, something they knew. Like in overtime, I tell them, like, oh, we didn't know. You know, I said, I work here, don't I?
Yeah. You know, you had said that your wife applied for a job down there. Did she ever get another job somewhere else?
No, she worked at the university.
Oh. Okay.
My baby was a, I think she was there. Somebody was taking care of our babies. We had two of her school together. And she worked at the university. She worked about 31 years.
What did she do over there?
She was a maid.
Uh-huh. Well, now, then what happened? How did you raise your daughters to be, there was this, they were the groundbreakers in the integration. What happened, because I was long before my time.
Well, anyway, we had quite a few black people right here that wanted to be Mr. Tom, Mr. Dick, and Mr. Harry, but they were afraid that the rules followed. You know, they were always kind of checking that. You can't even read it. Don't call his name.
Oh, we don't
worry.
We know not to call his name.
Oh. Take care of that.
It's right. Still going.
Okay.
Don't have his name.
We don't mention him. Don't worry. We understand off the record.
So anyway, what happened? So his wife was a school teacher, and she would never tend to participate in anything, never attend, and she wouldn't join in any CPD because her job. And so my wife, she wasn't educated, but wife, but she did a lot of studying. The only thing she never did was pass after she tried. That's what she got sick. But she could mingle with the best of them,
uh-huh.
And she knew all about politics. Because her father taught her. And her father was a preacher, ordained a minister.
And what was his name?
His name was Reverend James Smith.
Reverend James Smith?
Yeah, Reverend James Smith. He died right after the city. He died in 41.
And he was from Louisa?
He was from Louisa. And he's still on the place where he owned.
Oh, really?
That's where she built her family.
Oh. Oh, and her father is very good.
And mother and her uncle too.
So it's a farm kind of place?
No, it's been grown up now. It's grown up. That's what it used to farm.
But now what is it? Subdivision?
No, just land.
Oh, just for open land. Nobody's farming.
Nobody's farming. They farm up from this bag.
Well, now why don't they farm anymore? She doesn't have any brothers?
She was the only child.
Oh.
She was the only child.
So your daughters will get that land?
Yeah.
No, they gone. So you have three daughters?
I have three girls.
Three? All right. I have five girls in my family.
Oh, you have five? Oh,
you're one of five.
Now, here. Now, that's the oldest one on the corner right there.
Uh-huh.
And that's the baby right there. Right here. The color. Right there, that's the baby.
Uh-huh.
And then this is the middle.
Uh-huh.
She's in Santa Barbara. She's a photographer.
Now, what's her name, the photographer?
Gloria Diana.
What?
Gloria Diana.
Gloria? Mm-hmm. Diana?
Diana.
Hamill. Mm-hmm. And where'd she go to college?
She went to University of Tennessee. Now, she went to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then she went to University of Michigan.
Her graduate student.
Now, William. So it's all going to be, they ask for three people. Three for four people. It's 8 to 10 people in the room.
Yeah.
8 to 10. And up there on Dr. Hill, where the hospital is?
Yeah.
I went up there a long year ago when I first come here. You see a house up there with about 15 to 20 people living in the house. It's the same way in the public housing. And they kind of tightened down on them. So it used to be the street in Barclay and had a car on the street. And all the people were going to live in the kind of place to farm. So one night, they started pouring the cars away. I never hear of public housing. If some people ain't own nothing that lasts as long as they live, and they're going to be on welfare as long as they live. Have you heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
Black and white the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the grocery store, you see somebody come in there, you don't see what their car. They pay for all the groceries out of this year, this thing. They pay for all the groceries out of it. Then they got the two crates of beer and a bottle of wine. They go in the hip pocket.
They
pay. You go out and see what kind of car they got in. They got a good looking car out there. You pay for that.
Now they become slaves to the state instead of slaves to the master.
What I like what the state did, New York was the first one. No, Michigan, Illinois was the first one. They figured out like they had to take care of all these disturbed people. They didn't feel like they had to take care of them. So Congress made a pass, and they turned all the people out of the institute. You remember hearing that thing? All the people out of the institute, what they called the state, had to pay for it. And so now, if Virginia gets something like that too, because they closed down the hospital over here, what is it, overstanding? They're talking about closing that dam over there.
Yeah, whatever, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're talking about closing that dam, getting all the disturbed people out of it. Some of those people ain't disturbed, some of them get a free hand, they stay there. But up in Illinois, we closed down all the institutions. And in the city, they got places. The city take care of their own, and the county take care of their own.
Mm-hmm. So did you build this house yourself, you said?
Yeah, I built it with my hands.
Wow.
I was 2 years and a half built.
Wow.
And all the timber come off the Weiss farm down there.
Oh, my, that's amazing. You had to go out there and haul that in?
The 10 people sawed it, carried it to the building, and brought it up here for me. It was green. It was lumber.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'll tell you how God did it. It was gas. He was called the gas.
Okay.
I got burned out. I got burned out. I got starched.
Really?
And I healed back.
When did that happen?
It happened to me. Well, the same year my dad was finished. He was finished in high school.
Well, how did you get
burned? I had a furnace in the basement. It was cold. in the coal furnace, and it backfired and blew the door, and it burned all of the food. Now, don't ask what year that was. I know, Bill. But how did you get in here? Come in the basement door. Come in the basement door.
So the house didn't burn down?
No, everything just burned everything over here. Everything.
Well, now, I want to know one thing about up and down the streets here. Like your daughter owns one of those houses on Ridge Street. About how much did she pay for that? When?
Now, she had that thing about 10 years. She had it remodeled. She had to do it inside his apartment. I have a slight idea of what's going on.
Well, now, what about the street? Are these white slum landlords who own these ugly-looking buildings?
What happened?
The new buildings that look like they're falling. They're brand new, but they just look a mess.
Now, Otis Lee owns a couple on Ridge Street.
Okay. So these are historic buildings, but they're...
It's the White House up here. White owns that. And the rest house out through there, Black owns most of them going out that way. On the houses. And the Black has bought this development. And all that Ridge Street that they bought, they live in it.
Yeah.
So those are private homes.
Oh, they are. There's some on this side of the street. There's a bunch of duplexes that have a brick firewall in between the duplexes, and so those were built to be cheap kind of houses. But I guess people could afford.
Oh, that's on that this way.
Yeah.
That's what they built. Now I can't even tell you how old it was. Last day I was telling you, but they was building out of that house. We were telling them 6 weeks. I'm wondering, I'd come back and it'd be a deal.
Where would you be gone?
In West Virginia.
You have relatives in West Virginia?
No, I had to work in the wintertime.
Oh, you go to work in West Virginia?
Yeah, that's the bed was like a big plane that I called Matt Starn.
Oh.
And we went there and worked three or four weeks and come back and stay a week and be back again.
And they had a big plane up there called what?
Matt Starn, West Virginia. Right on top of the mountain. And all they use coal and oil.
So they sent you that 2 or 3 weeks at a time?
Yeah, correct.
So do a lot of your neighbors around here, are they the same people?
No, everything is new across the street. They're renting. They don't have cold spray. They're renting. The little boy there on that, he's smart. He's all like that guy. Now he bought that. And the next door is renting. Black guy on that. And the next house, that's an owner. And the next two houses, they're renters. And on down the street, they're going. And the big house, that was a beauty for the next door. That big house, that big city house.
Yeah.
When I first came here, that was a beauty. Yeah. That was a beauty. That great house down there, that was a beauty.
Well, now, what was that? Greenhouse? Was
there? Yeah, greenhouse. Valley View Greenhouse.
Valley View. Well, now, how did most Black people in the old days, I mean, I'm talking about after the Second World War, how did they make a living?
Anyway, a lot of work around here, they didn't pay that much. You mean, as the First World War?
Yeah.
Now, anyway, that's for my time.
after the Second World War.
Well, anyway, what happened, a lot of old people owned the houses, owned the land. A lot of Black people owned all that land back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, then back in Hollywood, it's a place called Raymond Road down there. Left. And then we'll go out towards Fire Street, all fighting it out that way. And you take on Oak and Dick Street, all right, Black in there. They were railroad workers.
The Blacks could work on the railroad.
Yeah,
the railroad was a big way to make money.
We put it in the fucking here. When I came here, it's a ship mill, and you feel up there where the hospital is now, the new hospital, that was a foundry there. A lot of black people worked there, the foundry. And the city made their own gas. And what else was it? It used to be a big hotel there in the Hollow down here. Down where the Thompson Park is.
Oh.
It used to be a big yard down here. Yeah, Honey Bunch, I've got, that's got most items.
Well, now, what about this Gospel Hill? Tell me what that was. That's where the UVA hospital is.
That was a slum.
Oh.
That was like South 6th Street down there. All black lived up here. I mean, you had houses on both sides of the street. Two cars couldn't park. Two cars couldn't pass. It was just like a gravel road. You went all over to the railroad track. And you turn around and come back there. But everybody had a car. And then the university had that effect. A lot of people, then you had this attorney housing, had boarding housing. See, most black people back here, when I come here, they were cooking, they were cooked and took care of the attorney housing. And with Rugby Road up through there, a lot of the attorney housing, as you cross over the bridge, get up to the red light, all of the attorney housing. And when you get to the bridge, down here for the apartment, you see the ball field in there. It's a apartment in there. And that's a rugged road across the bridge. Then back in there, he ain't nobody. And so I came here to work. And I have, you know, wife was a brain. And I used to work all the time, Saturdays and Sundays too. I used to work. We'll make that much money. Mm-hmm.
Well, now,
did
your daughters, they
graduated,
but like how, by the time they graduated,
were
they were just a few blacks in the class, or was
it? You see, it was about five or six in there. They actually went to start going to high school anyway. A lot of them dropped out.
A lot of the whites dropped out. The blacks dropped out. But you stuck it out.
Hey, now, that baby daughter there, she was outspoken. She was sweet. You know what I see?
Yeah.
One time she was speaking out, I told her somebody had 3 or 4 degrees. now, you coming, lay down, come. You finally got.
How many did you have?
I have two.
They are.
Yeah.
How come that one's so little?
He's a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, and this one's a...
English Spaniel.
What?
That's the English Spaniel.
English Spaniel. They're both black and white.
This is a French English family. They're different than
them. Yeah, well, they are different. Yeah,
right.
Well, you've had an interesting
life, Mr. Hamilton. I've lived it.
Well, now tell me, your wife being from Louisa, this is interesting since we are in Virginia. Her daddy was a minister. Mm-hmm. She was an only child. They had a farm. Well, do you know anything about her background? Beyond that, I mean, like her granddaddy and great-granddaddy?
No, all of them had paid. Now, she had to walk 7 miles to school. Mm-hmm. And the school's up on the... No, they tore that school down now. And I've been there, last week, from a big daughter was here in Chicago, down in Greenville. She went to school. And she didn't finish high school, that's why she went to work in Greenville. Oh, see, I got books in there, she was always studying. The eyesight was failing, and she has to get older. But she went.
She had a lot of
energy. It sounds like maybe she learned a lot from her father.
Her father told her. I said, daughter should always pay your taxes.
Oh.
And see, her mother was diabetic for years. Mm-hmm. They raised pretty good stuff. An old man raised the backer one year, and Mama sold a turkey. Got more for the turkey than for the backer. And they were able to buy a horse, a mule, and he would work one crop, and he would die there before the next crop came in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I had a birthday last month, the 27th, and my wife's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, it is. How old was she when she passed away?
She was 78. No, wait. She had a birthday in 78. Hit a candy. Now, it's here, and I see, We'd be the same age for a while now. Let me just get this straight here. She be dead 2 years from the 6 years. Now, hit me now. Let's see now. I would be 70. I'm 79. She'd be 80 in her birthday.
Uh-huh.
I think I got it right.
Yeah. Okay.
And she was born 1950, I was born 1914. That's right.
Well, now tell me, if you know of your Tennessee background, were your people before you always from around there?
No, they're in Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Some of us, North Carolina, South Carolina. But I don't know much about them. Well, I never ran home much. I was raised up, I come out of a family of nine. And I stayed with my aunt, my mother's sister. And I stayed with another aunt, my father's sister. So I stayed uptown. And I was a city boy. And I never knew much about them. And it's funny, I don't know anything much about my brothers and sisters. Because I left home in 1935. I was a big old boy.
Were you the oldest?
No, I had another brother older than me.
So you were the second oldest?
I was second oldest. No, the girl between there.
Okay.
And so I didn't know it was very much about me.
Well, you went to town and you went to school then. Did you go to high school?
No, I went to high school. I went to eighth grade. Because time was hard then, girl. Time was hard then.
So you went to the eighth grade. Well, how did you get yourself to get away from Tennessee to go up there to New York and all?
Well, I was in Washington. Girl, I've been here for you. Anyway, now let me tell you about some of my family history during the first time. I've been in jail in Cincinnati for 10 days, almost 5 days. I was in jail in Mansfield, West Virginia.
Mansfield, West Virginia.
That's where the state penitentiary is.
Oh my God!
I was in there for 10 days, and I was even locked up. And snow was that deep, girl. And the jailer said, I could go down town and shovel snow.
just let you go.
I'd go down and shovel snow. And I would cook for the old man and woman. Mm-hmm. I'd cook and I would eat. And they were just like, what are they doing? I got ready to leave. Yeah, you're not going, are you, son? Then I got in jail in Dayton, Ohio for 10 days. And it's a brand new jail. They had to build it. And they called it 10 days, called it New Chicago. And I talked to some people over in Cincinnati, when Bernardo was going to school there. Yeah, I know where that is. I said, I got the second year in there.
Well, now where was this? I missed that.
That's Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they keep putting you in jail?
I was trespassing. During the first time, it was hard. Yeah. I was trespassing on railroad property. So railroad. The city was locked in because the railroad had to pay for the board. Then here's another good one for you. And I was running out of time. I was in Washington. And the job was hard and hard. So I said I'd go to see the system back in Fort Bumper, New Jersey. So I had a little case of money. So I went on and back to Philadelphia. And I wound up in Philadelphia. And people would pick you up and ride you on the highway, didn't they?
Black people were just
black
like
and white people.
People
were different back in then, doing it. Yeah. People didn't. So got on up to Philadelphia, and I got on this train going to Lang City, New Jersey. And this train picked up water on the fly. They had to stop the water. And I was behind the engine, and the water got ringing wet. Oh, and when the train got to Lang City, and I got off this train, you know, this is a summer train. Got off this train and get from the policeman. I was ringing wet. Have a little handbag in my hand. You come on and go with me. Put me in jail all in there with a bed like as always. And I stayed out all night, driving clothes out. Then giving no breath. So next morning, this is that key. Next morning, they got me in a big old car. And carry the bridges. You go that way.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, where was this jail? This was in Philadelphia.
That's Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
City, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Yes, you go that way. And I went on down, see the sister, and I found her in Fort Columbus, New Jersey. I stayed with her that night, so I went up there and cut up to Long Beach, New Jersey. And she got me a room with some people. I got a job the next day. Worked at the hospital. A month in the hospital. I was from the hospital. We're at the big hospital. Didn't get hurt to them. It's a big hospital. Right on the beach line. And the ship was in. So I've been around and around, honey. I've been deep and I run. But I had to get it.
Where did you have any ghastly experiences of folks being really mean and terrible to you?
No, I didn't.
Just unjust.
No, girl, you some people bring it on themselves.
Yeah,
what do you care to? Now, I've been treated good, along with with your appearances. That makes a difference in people.
Mm-hmm.
When they look at you, they talk with you. Now, one place I was. West Virginia. I come out of West Virginia going to Stephenville, Ohio. And this guy said to me, he said, "What you doing out here all clean?" He don't want to be, yeah, that's the way he came, said.
Uh-huh.
And he's supposed to be a hobo. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Water running on the wrong side of the road." And he said, "You want a job?" And I said, what doing?" He said, "There was coal on the table." I said, "Nope." You know, that's big, big and cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want that job.
That was smart.
Yeah.
You might still be there.
I didn't want that job, so you know, I was going back to Philadelphia, going back to Pittsburgh then. See, at Stephenville, Ohio, and that next thing you go to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Pittsburgh. I got sick there. That was in 40. That was in 39. I got sick. And I had a case of money in the pocket. So I waited my way on back to New York, and I went to the hospital. I had I had the sinus trouble, but it pulled up my nostrils, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't breathe, and I stayed drunk all the time. And I went to Bellevue Hospital, and they operated on me. I was cutting the airway down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little bit of mark right there. That's
That's because
of
your silence.
Yes.
Well, did you drink because you were in pain all the time?
I didn't. No, I was dizzy. I wasn't drinking nothing.
Oh, you were drunk from dizziness.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't understand.
I'd fall out.
Oh my Lord.
You know, I'd fall out.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Bellevue Hospital, and I was there. If you read the history, you think, listen to this. Back in 40, the Empire State Building shuffled again.
Yeah.
You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at Bellevue Hospital then.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They operate on your sons.
They operate on your sons. Yeah. I was scarred from right there up there.
What?
And I never had no trouble. Oh, for a long time. I went on the army with him.
Mm-hmm.
This German doctor.
Oh, no.
Isn't that funny? A German doctor. During the war.
During the war.
It's a little scary.
An interesting thing is that you didn't have a chip on your shoulder when you undertook this integration. You know, so many, not myself, but many white people think that only black people who are real bitter would go to all that trouble to integrate. I mean, you know, you had to go to a lot of trouble to get all this stuff done. So what is your attitude? Why did you go to all this extra trouble?
I wanted my children to have a better education than I had.
Okay.
Better too. I had a wife. We had the same program.
Yeah, we had the same program.
Yeah, and in other words, you had to work things out. But now, honey bunch, if you get things going, a lot of black people back out on you.
Yeah.
And white people the same way.
Yeah.
And they went up to the school. You went to the school and with them. They had
uh-huh.
a meeting up there one day, and the wife had a chill up there. And I went up there. I didn't go inside that time. And they told me, you know, your children gonna be hurt by everybody from school. She said, just let them be hurt. And she said, they had to grow up. And then another meeting, another time, out of my job. Oh no, this is my wife's job. They come see me yesterday. And this lady called Miss Pollard. Said, Gertrude, there's three white men I want to see. I wonder what they want to see you about. And so Gertrude didn't know what it was about. And then didn't know what she went on after. Miss Fowler, that was the wife's boss.
Miss who?
Miss Fowler. I think her husband was, son was a doctor. And so my wife went on out there and had my wife in his room. These three men. One guy was from the bank. Across the road out with my wife. Had the wife's money from him. Mr. Acker, he's out at the bank out there on 29 North now. He was one of them. And the other guy, she didn't know. And so told her, so what y'all want to see me, guys? And so they told her what they wanted to see about the children being hurt during the integration school.
They wanted them not to go. They wanted them
not to go. And so she let them be all the talking. And she let them be all the talking. And so and so and so and so. And she said, well, so the officer said, well, try to see how so good. She said, the officer's keeping me off the school because I'm with the show.
Because what?
I'm with the show.
That I'm with the show.
I'm with the show, and that bothered her no more. You know? And so, anyway.
Now this is interesting. Now, this was Mr. Acker, the banker, and who were the other two people?
Well, she didn't know the other two. Mr. Acker, if he had retired, he used to have that bank back then.
Now, Miss Fowler and all, they didn't want to fire her. Because
no,
they were
not. Yeah, they didn't know what it was. Then my wife, she said, I need CP membership. Oh, she sold it.
Woo!
She sold that stuff. And I got some things right now to do, man. She sold it. And one girl called Bertha up there, she laid a card up on where Miss Potter could see it. And Miss Potter said something about it. She said, Gertrude, I'm going to lose my job. She said, well, you ought to keep it in your pocket.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, Dr. Miss Fowler, they were not enlightened liberals, but they just are, were they? I mean, were they just regular, typical Southern white people?
They were Southern white people. They didn't like the program.
But they liked her, so they
could. They loved because she was outspoken.
But they didn't, they were stood by her.
But anyway, we all got that done. So on my job out there, two men come out there, I didn't know who they were. And old man, you know Lionel King?
I don't.
Well, he was assistant fire chief. But they were on my job. See, after the death movie out there, I was janitor. Lionel King said, Batson, treat me like I want to see you. I don't know what they want to see you about. And I said, that's good. So I've known how to see what they want. And I back up just the flat box. The old flat box. I think I'm moving. Lily's over there. What's this program all about? So Mr. Hamlin said to him, you're going to be ready to speak. So and so and so and so and so. Said that he advised me to try to so and so and so and so and so and so. And so I said to the other guy, I said, what you have to say? He's got the same thing he had to say because I heard you shouldn't have educated. Yeah, and I said, now what you got to say? He said, well, the same thing is kind of hard for them to go into a new environment. Now I ain't pronouncing it right now. You're going to go into a different environment.
Yeah.
And I said, that's all y'all got to say? Yeah. I said, they're going. If anything happened to my children, my wife, you don't seem to answer me. Never bothered no more. Never bothered me no more.
Well, now where did they do this? Here? Oh, it's your
job.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I said to them, they look at me, and I say to them, they say like this, I said, that nigga is crazy.
But you got along pretty well with people in spite of your, you know, the white people were not ready for you yet, apparently. But you managed to get along with them. I mean, they didn't, some of those people out there like you, even though they, at the even though you were outspoken, I guess you probably told the answer when you said it's the way a person carries
it. Well, when you say carry it, I would be resentful. And I had a guy one time, he didn't like I knew it. He said to me, he said, Matt, where are you from? I said, I'm down in Tennessee. I said, where? black and white got along good. And I said, they ate kill hogs same time and had everything going on. Yeah, that's where you learn all like one family. He said, well, he said, nigga ain't never sat down at my table. And I said, I wouldn't want to sit down at your table. And he thought that thing over, you know, he thought that thing over. So one day he got hurt. This is like cute. He got hurt. And everybody around looked at him, he's been called him. That's who they had a rescue squad. Who they had a rescue squad. And I said, just stretch out there. Just stretch out there and just tighten your hands up. Now, he's doing about a few minutes. And I said, brother, stop, just be quiet. He come back, Max, I'm sorry what I said to you. What about you just cut him out to sit back?
This was the same guy who said that.
Yeah.
Actually, I do need to go. I have a baby who...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, come on, let me show that. Come on, let me show that. Come on, don't like that car over there. Come on, show me something.
Okay.
Don't like that car over there. Let me show where I keep my own hands.
Good.
Let me put that next thing in there.
Okay, no waiting. Oh.